Hello, KPFK. You're listening to Midnight Oil, only on KPFK Safe Harbor. KPFK Safe Harbor, raw, uncut, community power for your eardrums. KPFK Safe Harbor is where I can tell you the truth. Like, consider this show as your liberated zone, where the shackles on your mind are the first to go. You might get shocked, maybe even outraged, but my hope is that you will not think about things in the same way, that what you thought was conventional wisdom, you will soon come to realize might be conventional, but maybe isn't wisdom. Or phrased another way, that your thinking will become less conventional and more wise. The great South African anti-apartheid leader Steve Biko said that the greatest weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the mind of the oppressed. She loved to do the wild thing. Wild thing. Now, to be honest, we've had a few snafus lately, and my shows have not aired on time. I'm taking corrective measures to prevent that from happening again. But until everything is properly in place, I ask you to please bear with me, okay? Putting this show together is a huge undertaking for a technological novice like me. But I'm trying, and I'll keep learning and buying the correct infrastructure to make this work. I appreciate KPFK for giving me this platform, and I want to become one of their best produced shows. I've also been given clearance to produce some all music shows too. I always did want to be a DJ. Thank you, KPFK. I've also got more good news, in that other outlets will start carrying my shows. Once all of the details have been worked out, then I'll be able to make that announcement too. So now we've heard from a Libertarian Party member as one of our ABC options, that is, anybody but Clinton. As I've repeatedly stated, we the people don't have any stake in the continuation of the current deep state power configuration. Our best bet is for the entire U.S. political system to implode under the heaviest burden of extremely high voter turnout that does not, I repeat, does not vote for the cabal's choice, that is, Hillary Clinton. If we can put enough of us into the system to make election theft obvious, then the added bonus is that we force their thievery out in the open. Now, remember Florida 2000? That's exactly what happened. Black turnout in 2000 was nearly 100%. They had to resort to open theft. Our high voter turnout also showed that the Democratic Party, sick, you know, like it's not so democratic and it's a mistake to call it a Democratic Party, will not fight to protect the rights of their own black voters to have their votes counted. The Democratic, sick, party would rather cut a deal with the Republicans than to actually allow black voters and their policy concerns to really count. Now, I know that's strong language, but that's what the record reflects. Now, if you can take the same set of facts and come up with a different conclusion, let me know. You can contact me through my website at allthingscynthiamckinney.com. Okay, so we've heard from a Libertarian Party representative, but poor Libertarian Party presidential candidate, former Governor Gary Johnson, failed his current events test and on national television when he asked, "What is Aleppo?" Now, while this is totally embarrassing, like when the Texas Governor Rick Perry was asked about his own platform and he couldn't even answer the question, Then came his infamous oops. So now Gary Johnson has had his oops moment, much to the chagrin of many libertarian voters who were hoping to amass enough votes to deny both Trump and Hillary a majority of votes, popular and electoral. The Libertarian Party strategy was to trigger the constitutional provisions for the selection of the president and vice president, throwing the election to the House of Representatives. Only the second time in the history of the U.S. that this has happened. In my opinion, while this Libertarian Party strategy might be in danger due to Governor Johnson's gaffe, my proposal for ABC voting by the public, anybody but Clinton, still stands strong. And with Hillary Clinton's very clear health issues being magnified on international television and her inability to even stand up, let alone climb herself into her Medicaid van, the ABC strategy still looks strong. However, I did note last week that it appeared to me that with Trump's surprisingly strong showing, that the neocons and the neoliberals are now swarming to Trump in order to make sure that they win no matter who loses. Unfortunately, the more they swarm and are absorbed into his policy fabric, the less likely we are to see substantive policy changes that fit with his earlier statements like ending the trade deals that hurt U.S. workers, ending the wars that hurt us all and the planet, making the Europeans pay for NATO, thereby ending NATO, unrigging the rigged U.S. system, and stopping the corruption. Has he mentioned any of this lately? That's for us to listen for now. The Green Party needs to get its 5% in order to become a major party. And this is according to the U.S. definition, the U.S. legal definitions of what a minor and major party are. This is looking increasingly tough, however, to bring this home as the Green Party still seems to hover around 3% in the polls. That's why I'm advocating a strong turnout. We need a high turnout. And I do believe with that, we will deny Hillary and elevate what are now legally termed minor parties. Hitting that 5% marker elevates them to major party status by law. That structurally changes politics in the U.S. if we can continuously elevate minor parties to major party status. Now, for me, that's not the end game, but that is a necessary intermediate step, according to our laws. The end game for me would be direct democracy. But the U.S. has a long time before the people will push that far and that hard to be individually sovereign policymakers. The United Kingdom Independence Party, UKIP, and some parties in Ireland are pushing for direct democracy, a form of which is practiced in Switzerland and was practiced in Libya prior to President Obama's bombs descending on that country and completely destroying it. Brown skin, you know I love your brown skin. I can't tell where yours begins. I can't tell where mine is. Brown skin, up against my brown skin. Now I want to shift gears a little and put what has happened in the U.S. this week on the table. Police killings, or rather to be more precise, police officers who kill, are on public trial again. I was contacted by Morris 108, a UK national who lives in Asia, to speak about it. I don't know if you remember Morris, but he has a YouTube page, Morris 108, but his voice was particularly powerful and needed during the assault on Libya. Well, anyway, we had a discussion, and that discussion reminded me of many Malcolm X quotes. So I'm going to play one of them for you now. But bottom line is we've passed this way before. And honestly, I'm tired of saying the same thing over and over and over again. And then 20 years later, having it treated as if it's some kind of wisdom. You know, it was the right thing 20 years ago, but not enough people were paying attention, or not enough people were listening, or not enough people were believers, or not enough people had been through hard times, so they didn't believe what I was saying. At any rate, here's what Malcolm X had to say, and then after him, I'm going to play what I had to say in a conversation with Morris 108 about the U.S. police state killing fields and my ABC Anybody But Clinton thesis for the 2016 presidential election.
Don't scare Negroes today with no badge or no white skin or no white sheet or no white anything else. The police the same way. They put their club upside your head and then turn around and accuse you of attacking them. Every case of police brutality against a Negro follows the same pattern. They attack you, bust you all upside your mouth, and then take you to court and charge you with assault. What kind of democracy is that? What kind of freedom is that? What kind of social or political system is it when a black man has no voice in court, has no nothing on his side other than what the white man chooses to give him? My brothers and sisters, we have to put a stop to this. And it will never be stopped until we stop it ourselves. They attack the victim. And then the criminal who attacked the victim accuses the victim of attacking him. Yes, sir. This is American justice. Yes, sir. That's right. This is American democracy. Yes, sir. And those of you who are familiar with it, yes, know that in America, democracy is hypocrisy. Right. Now, if I'm wrong, put me in jail.
MTP, fuck the police, free the prisoners, feed my people, please, on me.
For them to do what they did to him was really uncalled for.
Okay, so of course, Angela Davis's book did not receive the attention and the acquire the celebrity that Michelle Alexander's New Jim Crow book received. But Angela Davis wrote a book about mass incarceration probably maybe a decade ago, at least now, maybe even longer ago than that. And basically what she started with the notion of kindling. And of course, anyone who does has a fireplace knows that you start the fire with a little kindling, and then you can build up to the big, to the larger logs that will burn for a long time. But the kindling is what gets it all started. And Angela Davis likened the black community to the kindling for the United States, able to be put a lit at any moment. And so therefore, what she did was she looked at mass incarceration as the solution to eliminate the possibility of kindling. What we are witnessing in the United States now is the reality of what Angela Davis wrote at least a decade ago. And that is the situation inside the black community is one that can be likened to kindling. It able to erupt at any moment. And so now you've got what actually police brutality is not anything new. Police murder is not anything new. But now what is new is that we're able to capture it on video. And then we have the cell phones with the cameras, and then we have the instantaneous live feed on the internet. So with these two technological innovations, we're able to now make police brutality real time. And even if it's not real time, we can make police brutality come inside people's bedrooms, their living rooms, their kitchens, their dinettes, and it comes into their lives. Now, there are some people who still don't want to accept that the situation is as severe as it is. But those are the people who have a vested interest in denial. And they are denying a whole lot of things. They deny U.S. responsibility for the wars and the killing and the destruction that takes place around the world. And quite frankly, it's a way for them to not only deny responsibility, but also for them to avoid any kind of acceptance of an alternative reality that other people are experiencing. So this is not new, the situation is, and I can say that it's not new because my father was one of the first Black police officers in the city of Atlanta, and he would come home literally angry because he had witnessed yet another instance of brutality, some white police officer beating up on a black person, a Black civilian. And this is the kind of thing that happened all the time. So unfortunately, this is the situation. And so now we are experiencing this kind of brutality and police murder as a regular occurrence.
I guess this is all, you touched on it and made me think of it. This is all a repercussion of the internet and the instantaneousness of news. I mean, I've been shielded from the Black community in America and really unaware that there's a simmering anger.
Yes, I like the way you put that. It's a simmering anger. But this is an anger that's been simmering for a long time. And when I say a long time, I don't mean like five, like the last 5 years. I mean, it's always there. As long as you find repression and oppression, then you will also find this simmering anger. And that is exactly the situation that we experience now. It's a simmering anger, and it's very real, it's very palpable, and it could erupt at any moment.
So what do you foresee happening? I mean, there's the continuing riots in Charlotte, I think it's in Pennsylvania, but can you foresee what's going to happen, or can you propose a solution?
Well, the solution would be just, to have the powers that be stop the oppression and stop the repression. That's the solution. Now, how do we get to that point? Well, there are many different routes that could be taken. One thing that I recommend is a Truth and Reconciliation Commission. I believe that we've just got to put the cards on the table, whatever they are, and recognize that we've got some work to do in our interpersonal relations. If we could at least get to the point where we accept, yes, we need to emulate I think Guatemala did a Truth and Reconciliation Commission, and the South Africans did the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. And so if we could, with all of the historical baggage that the United States has, from genocide of the indigenous peoples to human trafficking of the African peoples, to the neoliberalism that's been imposed that literally steals the future and steals the wealth from people, if we could just put these items on the table for discussion, for honest discussion, and say, okay, we don't care what the language is that you use. We understand that it's more important for us to get to the heart of the matter and to allow people to express themselves, even if they don't use exactly the right quote unquote language. And if the hearts can speak, then I think we could move forward in a way that would allow our country to come together. Until such time as we are able to basically, I guess you could say, have our hearts and minds allowed to be free for to explore the things, the solutions that we need to the problems that ail the United States. I don't see that the U.S. is actually going to be able to move forward.
You know, President Obama must have got a lot of support from the African-American community, certainly at the time that he was voted in. Do you feel that he is representative or concerned about the status of African-Americans?
Well, we would need only look at his policies and look at his record to say, and if we look at the policies, and this is something that I try to talk about and discuss with the African-American community in 2008, when I was also on the ballot as a Green Party nominee for president, that the time to walk away from the Democratic Party is now, but I believe that the Barack Obama presidency, well, the candidacy first and foremost, was a tool used by status quo powers in order to trick the African-American community into remaining loyal to the Democratic Party, not because of its policy positions, but because they had just merely tapped a black man in order to become the president. And so what we have seen is this cynical manipulation of the African-American community and convince them to have my back, which in and of itself is an insult as far as I'm concerned, because have my back, which is what the Obama administration used to, some of the messaging that was sent out from the Obama administration to the African-American community was to watch my back, have my back, and having nothing to do with policy. And so, you know, we only have should have the backs of incumbent representatives who actually and truly represent us. And that is in terms of the policy positions that they take. The Obama administration, starting from its tenure in the U.S. Senate, when it did nothing to foreclose the financial crisis, when all it had to do was to write one sentence in the bailout legislation subjecting the companies that receive bailout money to independent audits, I think things would have been vastly different. So there has been this abdication of responsibility, even for those who voted for it, but there has not been an abdication by the African-American community for its love of the Obama administration. And for that reason, they continue to be, as Malcolm X said, political chumps.
The whites are so evenly divided that every time they vote, the race is so close, they have to go back and count the votes all over again. And which means that any block is in a strategic position. Either way you go, that's who gets it. You're in a position to determine who go to the White House and who stay in the doghouse. You're the one who has that power. You're the one who put the present Democratic administration in Washington, D.C. The whites were evenly divided. It was the fact that you threw 80% of your votes behind the Democrats that put the Democrats in the White House. When you see this, you can see that the Negro vote is the key factor. And despite the fact that you are in a position to be the determining factor, what do you get out of it? The Democrats have been in Washington, D.C. only because of the Negro vote. They've been down there 4 years. And all other legislation they wanted to bring up, they brought it up and gotten it out of the way, and now they bring up you. And now they bring up you. You put them first, and they put you last. Because you're a chump. A political chump. In Washington, D.C., in the House of Representatives, there are 257 who are Democrats. Only 177 are Republican. In the Senate, there are 67 Democrats. Only 33 are Republicans. The party that you bash controls two-thirds of the House of Representatives and the Senate, and still they can't keep their promise to you, because you're a chump. Anytime you throw your weight behind a political party that controls two-thirds of the government and that party can't keep the promise that it made to you during election time and you are dumb enough to walk around continuing to identify yourself with that party, you're not only a chump, but you're a traitor to your race.
Okay, perhaps to just finish off, you could give us a comment on the current electioneering going on.
Well, yes. And, you know, I have adopted this strategy of ABC, anybody but Clinton, because I think it has become extremely clear to more and more people in the United States that we really don't have a stake in the current political power configuration. We don't have a stake in the status quo politics. We have been led to believe, we the voters of the U.S. have been led to believe that it is of dire consequence that we participate and that we reelect Hillary Clinton. But as far as I'm concerned, Hillary Clinton is exactly the opposite of what any Democratic voter could possibly want. And so therefore, in terms of policy positions, I'm not talking about personality, although I think she fails in that regard as well, but certainly in terms of policy positions. And this is just looking at Hillary Clinton's track record. Now, the Trump campaign began by questioning the usefulness or the efficacy of NATO, the usefulness of these wars, and was making sounds that seemed to suggest a different direction in terms of policy for the U.S. Unfortunately, it was these nuggets were wrapped in the garb of Islamophobia, xenophobia, and, you know, sort of incendiary hate talk. Nonetheless, because he appeared to be shooting from the hip, and this is juxtaposed to Hillary Clinton's extreme scriptedness, people seem to like that. But now what has happened with the Trump campaign is that it too has been swarmed by these neocon type personalities that if the candidate isn't careful, would be able to persuade the candidate of a different policy direction. So that is somewhat frightening to watch as this neocon, neoliberal swarm takes place around the Trump candidacy. But the ABC that I advocate, basically what I would hope is that people would cast their vote for the third party candidates. That would be the Libertarian Party and the Green Party, such that you would get enough votes out of the Libertarian Party. The Libertarians are looking to get 10 to 12%. And since Gary Johnson had his oops moment with the What is Aleppo question, maybe that might dip somewhat, but the libertarian strategy was to throw the, was to secure enough votes to throw the election to the House of Representatives. And I found this quite intriguing. So I began to contemplate ways in which we could implode the system, just totally, I don't want to use incendiary talk, but it demonstrate that the people, the vast numbers of people voting in the U.S. have no stake in the current system, and therefore participate overwhelmingly, but participate in ways in which that power configuration does not want the participation to be expressed. And first and foremost, that is with the alternative, the Green Party, Libertarian Party. And the Green Party strategy is to get 5% of the vote. I would be supportive of that. In addition, I think that we need, that Trump needs to acquire enough votes to deny the Electoral College vote to Hillary Clinton. So we could really have some constitutional drama. And I think that would begin be the beginning of a kind of change, but that would be desired by the voters. But unfortunately, if we, the alternatives, don't come together in some kind of cogent, consistent policy mechanism, then it will all be for naught. We've got to come together, whether it's Clinton voter, anti-Clinton voter, alternative party voter, and say, okay, these are our must-haves, like the as was done under the Ron Paul when in 2008, when I was running, all of the alternative political parties came together and said, okay, there's some things that we agree on. We agree on the need for the Federal Reserve to be either eliminated or audited. We need to end the wars. We need to refocus on our budget, our budgetary priorities. So there are things that we can agree on, and that's what we need to focus on if we are able to deny Hillary Clinton the Electoral College votes to win.
Shot it flies, hell is so unique. Overseas, so mystique, she got that on repeat.
This is Cynthia McKinney, and you're listening to Midnight Oil on Pacifica Network's KPFK.
Girl, I don't know what you're doing to me. The way you move, baby, who will feel my soul in need? Come on with it, baby, go with it, baby. I'm so with it, baby, don't stop with it, baby.
Up next, a discussion of recent geopolitical events around the world. Just as I was lamenting that India signed an unprecedented agreement with the U.S. to allow U.S. troops to use military bases on Indian soil, a sliver of light peeked through the clouds. Russia's rejoinder to this unprecedented act and huge BRICS disappointment was to conduct concurrent but separate exercises with both Pakistan and India. Now that was huge. At a time when BRICS is under attack, with Brazil in a state of turmoil, the last thing BRICS and its new development bank needs is wavering from India. But India has done just that. Whether or not Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi is adopting the Israeli policy of ambiguity or ambiguousness, I think is what they call it, what is clear is that Modi's India under BJP, which is a Hindu nationalist political party, has moved India closer to Israel. now is even buying military hardware from Israel. India refused to vote at the United Nations against Israel's latest bombing of Gaza. And Netanyahu has both hosted and visited Modi's India. This is a significantly different India from the one that co-founded the Non-Aligned Movement, and that disappoints me tremendously. In a strict demonstration of what goes around comes around, back to Brazil, Temer, the new Brazilian president, the neoliberal who put away the Workers' Party, Dilma Rousseff, and the previous Workers' Party president, Lula, is now under corruption probe himself. Speaking of Aleppo, the Syrian Arab Army is making its biggest push yet to take Aleppo from ISIS. This week, the Pentagon ripped to shreds its own brokered peace deal when it bombed the Syrian government army, killing 60 Syrian soldiers. We later learned that not only were the Americans responsible for this, but also the UK, even Denmark, losing all of its moral authority, participated in the bombing of Syrian soldiers to support the position of ISIS, whom the Syrian soldiers were attacking. If there ever was an example of U.S. support for ISIS, its asset, this is yet another blatant example. ISIS equals CIA equals USA. Finally, I can't think of any of my associates and friends who are not waiting to see the debates. Hillary Clinton and the health questions that have dogged her since September 11, 2016 cannot dodge the debate with Trump. And because she disrespected the process before by staying in the bathroom long after the allotted time, this debate, there will be no bathroom break. I've noticed that since the September 11th Clinton health episode, soft cameras have been used on her. Well, I'm suspecting that this debate will be broadcast on high definition cameras and viewed on many 4K screens. We can assume a lot of Botox has already been ordered and is being administered as we speak. There will be no step stool to make Hillary appear to be taller than she really is. And if she starts coughing, there will be no commercial break to cut to. Next, after Hillary invited a billionaire Trump critic to the debate, Trump responded by threatening to bring Jennifer Flowers, one of Bill Clinton's alleged quote-unquote bimbos, to use Colin Powell's word to describe the women of Bill's extramarital affairs. Flowers has agreed to attend the debate and sit right next to Hillary's guest. The debate takes place on Monday night, just before I have to put this baby broadcast to bed, unfortunately. So that means next week, we will hear my take on the debate.
Bum, 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 bum.
For those who are just tuning in, this is Cynthia's Midnight Oil and Pacifica Network's KPFK, and I'm Cynthia McKinney.
Come on. bless you, working on a plan to heaven. Follow the Lord all 24/7 days. God is who we praise, even though the devil's all up in my face, but he's keeping me safe and in my place.
So there you have it. In a jam-packed show tonight, we all are awaiting the first 2016 presidential debate, while real crises stalk the next president in the South China Sea, in South Asia, in West Asia, and in North Africa. But you won't hear any of that substance at the debate, I'm sure. We will, however, hear about bimbos, scandals, and emails. What we won't hear about is anything that will make us more informed than we already are. So my friends, great harm has been done to our country, the Constitution, and the world. It's being done to us as it is being done in our name, because we're paying for it. Let's put an end to these wars and neoliberal policies squeezing every cent from us and the world to make the greedy cabal even richer. And the clearest way to do that is to remember ABC, anybody but Clinton. Hashtag never Hillary. I hope you watched the debate tonight, and I'll have plenty to say about it next week right here on Cynthia's Midnight Oil on Pacifica Network's KPFK. You've been listening to Cynthia's Midnight Oil on Pacifica Network's KPFK. Hey.